Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's going on, everyone? Jeter Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Monday morning. Well, what a weekend. I mean, extremely heralded draft by the Eagles, getting a lot of praise both locally and nationally, and an absolutely gut-punch loss yesterday as the 76ers lost for the third time in this series. And to say their backs are up against the wall is an understatement. Plus, the Phils, of course, they do a great job in San Diego playing really good baseball. We'll talk about it all today. Buckle up. Big show. Full of a lot of stuff here at 215-592-9490 for Rich. Rich.
Hi, Joe.
What's up, bud?
Oh, man.
Have you caught your breath on all the action this weekend?
No. There was almost was too much for me to take it all in. It was awesome. The human tongue has eight muscles.
Well, that's eight more than I would have thought.
I know. It is strange. I mean, yours probably has less. I think your body
he uses less muscles, you know. Talks a lot. You know, so
there's a lot of comments I could make, and I'm going to make none of them. All right? Zero comments. Here's what I will say. What a weekend. So, look, I will just encourage everyone listening right now, if you want to climb in, as they say, I encourage you to do it now, because I'm telling you, I know this is going to be one of those days where the phone lines get jammed really early. So if you want to comment on any part of it, please do it, 215-592-9494. John, let's start draft, then we'll get to the Sixers. We're going to play a ton of audio through the show. We have all sorts of audio from all those press conferences over the weekend, all those calls the Eagles did where they informed the draft prospect that he had been drafted by the Eagles or about to be drafted by the Eagles. So load it with audio. A lot of good stuff. Plus, Ray Dittinger will join us later, Shil Kapadia as well. But your chance at 215-592-9494. John, why don't you take first crack at it? I'm going to ask you a really simple question. Was this draft as good as people say?
Yes.
I mean, like, Mel Kiper gave him an A.
Yeah.
Was it that good?
Yes, I'd give it an A, too. It looks really promising. Jalix Hunt is a project, of course, and I hope we have the patience to treat him that way if necessary. I think Shipley is a stretch, and I don't think it's likely he'll ever contribute as much as a more explosive player would have in that spot, but he's got awesome intangibles. And the new kickoff rule, it feels like we are taking a long, hard look at that. We've added so many players who could be incorporated in schemes and be like crazy pinballs out there, pinballs that yield points and, you know, powerful pinballs. I'm excited about that. You know, we talked about trading up and taking Cooper DeJean on Friday at the Borgata. Remember that?
I do remember that.
We talked about trading up. Well, you didn't like the idea at the time. I mean, it was like strange. We mentioned it. I thought it was so highly improbable.
Right.
We didn't really go into it at all.
You know,
of the matter is, you ended up getting two at the position probably of greatest need in a lot of people's minds.
I think so,
cornerback.
That's right.
You get two who, depending where you look, are ranked in the top three. They are probably, you know, for my money, 1 and 2, 1 and 3, depending on, you know, day and their play. This is an unbelievable haul at a position of need, followed by some really intriguing young guys with these traits that burst off the tape. You know, when you actually feel like you're looking at a young Harold Carmichael out there catching passes, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting. When you're looking at a slot receiver in Aeneas Smith, who is more powerful, you know, more like a Deebo Samuel type receiver. Like, that's exciting for the future when you, you know, just imagine what these guys can look like in our colors out there. The draft was just outstanding, and it feels like Howie continues to just apply previous experience to the current draft and make himself a better GM in the process.
Look, I think he's a great GM. Obviously, we want to hear from you, 215-592-9494. Your basic reaction to the draft, any part of it or all of it that stood out to you, whatever you want, go for it. Again, phone line's there for you.
Look, I want to say the last thing, the Quinyon Mitchell thing, we didn't talk about it enough on Friday,
yep,
that it is miraculous that Howie was able to stand pat and still get his guy. I was totally, like, frivolous about throwing away a pick. Hey, go trade up and get your guy,
yeah,
in the first round, because that's what Howie does. Howie actually got better at doing that part, and I would have been fine with him being worse at it. Howie got better at the part where he just sat and waited. He was patient, and he said, okay, Quinyon,
you know what,
he's
I think
our guy anyway.
You know what helped him a lot?
I didn't have to trade away a second round pick or a third round pick.
Well, that's
whatever
right.
It would have been.
But I will say this. I think what helped him a lot, I mean, not only just a ton of quarterbacks got drafted and a ton of tackles got drafted, but he had so many options at cornerback at that point. I mean, for all we know, he might have been happy with three or four different cornerbacks.
He had the entire run of the draft at the cornerback position, which is so incredible.
Right. I mean, we don't really
the pick of the entire draft.
Well, we know he got to pick whichever one he thought was best because he picked the first one. So,
exactly.
I mean, it doesn't get any more basic. But he might have liked 2, 3, and 4 almost as much.
And we know that they liked Cooper DeJean nearly as much. He was right there in their plans in the first round.
Well, that's what
22.
They say, at least.
Yeah, we never quite know. Let me say this. So, again, all the draft reaction, 215-592-9494. Here's where I'm at on it. I love the focus on defense. You know, you guys know I was very clear from the end of the regular season or end of the postseason, like, come on, defense, let's go. I mean, not that it took a rocket scientist to figure it out, but I liked that they didn't Mickey Mouse there. Like, they went in. Defensive back obviously was a major need, so I'm thrilled that they attacked it there. I'm going to be fascinated either in the lead up to training camp or training camp, three players that have been here: Bradbury, Maddox, Blankenship. Who starts, who sits, who's cut, who's traded? Bradbury, Maddox, Blankenship, three guys that were starters last year, and frankly, really most of the last 2 years. All three of those guys, their tenure could be in serious
uneasiness
jeopardy.
Correct. In that group of guys. I mean, I can't imagine that there's ever been a draft where you've got a cluster of players in a meeting room, in a position room, who are anywhere close to as uneasy as those guys are. This was the worst draft possible
for those three. Yeah,
for those guys who are sort of, you know, on the tightrope,
and complicated, of course, by the fact that DeJean can play corner or safety, so we don't know which position group he's going to most affect.
Corner, he can play inside corner. He can play outside corner.
Yeah. All right. So the whole Eagles thing on the table, including, you know, the trades for future years. Trott Jr. I mean, it's an amazing story. We'll detail that as we move through the show. All of it. 215-592-9494. All right. Now let's. Seltzer, what would you say here? Flip it. Like, we're going to flip it from good to. What would the word be? Unsayable.
Horrendous. embarrassing.
All right.
Infuriating. I got lots of words.
All right. And we could probably put an adjective before then, but then we'd get fired.
Yeah, I didn't want to get... I said words I was allowed to say.
Okay. So, look, it's one of the most disappointing Sixers losses in a long time, and that's saying something. You know, the path is there for the Sixers to get to the Eastern Conference Finals if they can just get past this round. And they're, you know, it's funny, John, I jotted some notes down earlier, and I wrote the bottom line is, and then I said to myself, well hold on, there's not one bottom line. There's like five or six bottom lines. Here's where I'm at on the Sixers. Embiid is not capable of sustained greatness. He's just not. He's currently incapable of sustained greatness, and that is probably going to be the primary thing that sinks their ship. I mean, the reality is, three of the four games, he has not been able to effectively answer the bell in the fourth quarter. And it's a shame on many levels because you see in the first quarter how remarkable he was yesterday. And by the end of the game, he totally ran out of gas. Now, I do blame Nick Nurse. I understand why he did it, but it was the wrong call. Coach has got to be called to task on the carpet for it. I mean, coach took a risk. All right, I'm going to play the big guy the whole second half. It did not work. Not only did it not work, I mean, it backfired in spectacular fashion. I mean, he was dead by the end of the game. So that was a major problem. Maxey, obviously not all the way there yet. Heck of a player. Love him. The whole deal. Not able to, I said, you know, Embiid can't sustain greatness. Maxey can't sustain true effectiveness at the level he needs to lift this team with or without Joel. So really good player, but not giving you enough. Look, the Knicks obviously are out hustling the Sixers. That's clear. I want to be clear about this, though. I don't make that as a sweeping statement to indict all Sixers players. I think there's a ton of Sixers players playing their guts out. I really do. In many ways, I'm more proud of the effort from the Sixers than I think a lot of people are. But Tobias Harris is killing them. I mean, like, I believe Lowry's trying his hardest. I believe Oubre's trying his hardest. I believe Embiid's trying his hardest. But I look at a guy like Tobias Harris, and maybe he's just not in there. Maybe he does not have the DNA to ratchet it up. I mean, I don't know. It's like I've almost never seen anybody in Philadelphia sports so incapable of ratcheting up intensity, or if he does for 5 minutes, sustaining it for the next 35 minutes. And it's just like every 50-50 ball, every 50-50 rebound, every time the ball's on his fingertips and it's near going out of bounds, he just can't quite corral it. I mean, he's killing them. If Tobias Harris gave them what he should be giving them, they would be either tied or leading this series, even with all of Embiid's issues. So the guy I'm frankly most unhappy with is Tobias. But obviously, look, I got Nick Nurse in my sights. I got the Embiid thing. It's complicated. Okay, John, go for it. What do you got? And the bench freaking stinks.
I expected.
The bench is a disaster. But go
I expected ahead. Eastern Conference finals for this team, maybe playing for it all against the best of the West. But how far away does the Eastern Conference finals feel right now? It's like a pipe dream.
Well, how about, you know, John, let me just say this.
Joel had 2 months to heal up and get better, and it's like that didn't even happen at all. He is as decrepit as he's ever been. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is just to speak to how far away they are. And look, I'll say I don't think the series is over and they could still win it.
Exactly.
I don't think
what does that matter?
Right. I don't think they likely will.
Where are they going after that?
Well, so here's the weird thing. It's not weird. It's what it is. When this whole thing is all said and done, they're going to probably have either one or two playoff games, depending on whether you count the Miami Heat game as a playoff game. Like, you got
to
win.
And it took 50 from Embiid to win that one.
You're right. Yeah, like, you got to win 16 of these things, or 17 if you have to win that extra game like
and
they had to.
And we saw what matters most.
Like, they're going to win one or two.
The attitude that you bring to the court, and we don't have it. The Knicks, the way they rebound. The Knicks, the way they hustle. The Knicks, the way they fight. We saw what's required. Game one, the Knicks had 23 offensive boards, 26 second chance points. This last game, game four, the Knicks had 15 offensive boards and 21 second chance points. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like that's crazy time. That's standing around if you're the Sixers. That's hustle. That's refusing to refusing to give in to the hurt and the pain of the end of the game.
So I don't think
the Knicks are tougher than we are, and that's why they're winning this series right now.
Well, that is
turn the tables. Yeah. Joel needs to lead the way on that front, but that means forget about the brace, forget your hurt.
He's not capable.
He can't do that.
We've
seen it proven time and time again. Every time he steps a certain way, it's the end of the world. You can't win that way.
Well,
you can't win with that distraction. It's just wrong. That he's trying to do this the way he's trying to do it because it's not going to work.
So I disagree with two different things you said there. I'm not down on Joel's theatrics, if you want to call it that, whatever. Like, I think he's just legitimately not healthy. I, in many ways, admire the way he's trying. He just can't. He's a car that just runs out of gas and he's still got 50 miles to go and it's called the fourth quarter. He just can't do it.
And the other
thing that's so amazing though is this year it was very different. I mean, there was 2 months of just slow preparation.
It didn't work.
Like, just roll it up like easily as you want.
Didn't work.
And deliver you to the playoffs. I can't believe it didn't work.
The other thing I'll say, again, the idea of the Sixers being out-hustled, and they are, but I will also say this. On the rebounding front, like I think it's a little bit more complicated than just the Knicks are out-hustling them. Just for what it's worth, the Sixers guards are about as tiny as you're going to see in the NBA. I mean, when you play Maxey and Lowry as much as they do, you are guard deficient on rebounding.
Josh Hart. You know how big Josh Hart is?
But he's got
6'4".
But he's got leaping ability that is probably eight inches above
and
some
you know
of
what
guys.
Else he has? Just desire.
I know he does.
And Joel Embiid's 10 inches taller than him, man.
I know
Josh Hart had 17 rebounds this last game. Embiid has 18 the last two combined.
Look, he's
you're the biggest guy on the freaking court.
He's dead by the fourth quarter.
Have freaking 15, 16 rebounds every single one of these games. It's crazy.
James,
he had 8 last game. 10.
You ready for this? He can't do it.
He should be able to just on size alone.
He had. I will say this: in all the years I've watched basketball, he may have had less in the fourth quarter in his tank than any player I've ever seen. He had nothing. He had nothing in the fourth quarter. Look, we'll take your calls on it. I mean, I know it's really frustrating. We'll get to the fan element of it with the Knicks fans, the Sixers fans, what Embiid said, that, all of it. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on a crazy weekend. The good and the bad. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
As it starts to warm up this spring, and it certainly will today, 88 degrees, make sure your home is ready for it. Instead of getting stressed out about it, get some help from Horizon Services.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All the cooling and plumbing experts at Horizon Services for all of the repairs and upgrades your home needs. Solving cooling system breakdowns, leaky pipes, clogged drains, even water heater disasters. And right now, Horizon will help get all those home projects checked off by offering spring savings of $50 off any repair, up to $400 off water heaters with same day estimates, and even drain clearings for only $119. The pros can check off just about everything on my home to-do list and yours too. So if you want to solve all your home's repairs or
we'll be right back.
Well, it was obviously a tale of two teams this weekend from the Phillies. Well, really three. It's too bad. The Phillies are going to get a little shortchanged here today. They're just kicking butt right now. Although Taijuan Walker did not, but the bats are and the other starting pitchers are. But look, the Phillies, you know, we'll be turning our attention big time to them in May, obviously, because the Sixers will probably be done soon. Although, I will say, I still think they've got a shot, but, like, this is it. This is, you know, last call for alcohol, and three games in a row they got to win. So we'll see what they can do. And the Eagles getting big grades for the draft. Where do you stand on everything that Howie did? Let's go to the phones. Kick it off with Kurt Marlton this morning. Good morning, Kurt.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Kurt?
Before I address the draft, Rhea just made mention of it. I think a year from now we could look back on the smartest move that Howie made during this weekend could be signing Mekhi Becton. No high hopes, but talk about a low risk, potentially high reward move to bring him in and have Stoutland work with him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant.
Now, I will say this, Kurt. They only have him under contract for a year. So when you reference that a year from now we might say, you know, it's the best move of the weekend, I mean – if he's good or they think he's on the right track, even if he doesn't play, which is possible, by the way, if the other two starters stay healthy, then you might need to try to sign him again. It is fascinating a player with that natural skill set was not signed by a team to be a starter entering his fifth year in pro football. Very strange.
Right.
And obviously there's big upside. But I will say this, Kurt, the weight issues have been monumental in his career.
Injuries.
The injury history has been monumental. And even last year, in what was considered a bounce-back year for him, he gave up a boatload of sacks.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see.
As far as the draft itself, it's amazing that a general manager can, in the space of less than 24 hours, essentially retool his secondary. I mean, because all that talent you bring in for the top of that secondary, I mean, we went into this draft with the knowledge that Slay is the top cornerback in the secondary.
Well, yeah.
That may no longer be the case. So now you're talking about a guy that you were thinking was going to be number one. It's going to be number two. And I also think the draft, the way he handled it, it speaks volumes to how they feel about their edge rushing situation and their inside line situation as far as centers and guards. They didn't ignore them, but they kind of put it on the back burner, you know, kind of the project situation with a guy like Hunt and then the two inside guys they picked later on. They're content with what they've got right now.
Well, I mean, Kurt, I don't know if content's the word. I don't know if that's right word.
No, not content, because Mekhi Becton. But that's amazing. Like,
but he's not going to play guard, right?
No.
Tackle is going to be their swing tackle.
So
definitely a tackle.
They may still not have their guard. Like, my point is, Kurt's saying they're content. I don't know that to be true. I mean, you only get so many picks. They could make a trade for someone. They could sign someone, or they could believe in Steen, or they could believe in the guy Hennessy that played at Temple.
Yeah,
I don't know which is more the case, but I wouldn't go as far as to say they're content. I mean, you just can't draft every position you want to draft.
Always looking to add, and as evidenced by Mekhi Becton. Mekhi Becton was the 11th overall pick.
Yeah.
And that was 2020. This was not long ago. He's a guy who, if he keeps his discipline and eats the right way and stays on top of that stuff, which isn't always easy.
But let's also acknowledge, I mean, his career, as far as 11th picks in the draft go, has been a disaster.
Yes.
A disaster.
No, he's a salvation, let's coach him up and see if we can bring the first round out of him, because we haven't seen it yet. Like, he's not what we expected yet. But Jeff Stoutland is a great guy for that job.
And I'll say this also, signing Becton is a clear indication that they were of the mindset to draft an offensive lineman if they could have in the first couple rounds of the draft. You know, one, two, or three. It just didn't work out. First rounders, bunch of them were off the board. All right, they go cornerback. You know, second round, they go cornerback. My point is, like, if Howie went into the draft not thinking about signing an offensive lineman, then he would have signed, not drafted an offensive lineman, then he would sign Mekhi Becton 3 weeks ago. He waited until after the draft. It was clearly on the table, but it didn't work out, and that's fine. That's okay. Let's go to Eric in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
What's up, Eric?
All right, so I wanted to talk the Sixers.
Yep.
You know, this is probably not going to go well over with a lot of people, but the Knicks are just better, much better than I thought they were.
They are that. I agree with you on that. They are better than I thought they were.
And this Brunson kid is, like, I thought he was overrated. This team kind of reminds me of, like, the...
0-1 Sixers?
No, no.
I mean, they got a little bit of that, Eric. They got a little bit. They got a little guard and a bunch of role players, but go ahead.
I was going to go with, like, the... No, I was talking about the Knicks. I was going to go with, like, you know, the Sprewell, Larry Johnson. Just like, they just play so hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they aren't the same skill wise yet, but they hustle like.
Well, yeah, Eric, that's why I said the 0-1 Sixers. I mean, the reality is the 0-1 Sixers literally could not have tried harder than they did. I mean, for like 100 games, the Sixers tried their hardest in 0-1, and that's what this Knicks team does, and that is part of what makes them. And Eric, good call. That's part of what makes them better than I thought. I mean, you know, I didn't watch too many Knicks games this year. I watched, you know. Sixers next and a couple other, you know, games here and there. But, I mean, seeing them, John, like, I don't want to, like, overdo it here because I'm a Sixers fan and I'm not in the mood to praise the Knicks. But, I mean, credit to the New York Knicks for trying their you-know-what off.
It's like they are able to maintain an intensity that we can't even approach.
No.
They really are together and well-coached and just aggressive.
Hungry.
Tough more than anything. Like tough, the loose ball thing at the end of the game. At the end of the game, seeing Maxey dive for that thing, it was like a relief. It felt like, okay, finally we're getting after it a little bit because they were always winning. Those 50-50 balls,
right.
They would win. And they were boxing us out.
That's
and
right.
We were putting our butts on nothing.
I will say this, though, and this isn't like in the Sixers' defense. It might be in the players' defense, a couple of them. I also just think some of these guys just don't have it in them athletically anymore. Like, Josh Hart and DiVincenzo are two of the greatest leapers I've ever seen. Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
watching Nick Batum,
that's my
struggle
point.
To throw the ball backwards to try to save you. That looked ugly.
Well, I thought it was a pretty impressive play
that he caught
a block shot. But yeah, athletically, like, Batum can barely jump. Tobias can barely jump. Kyle Lowry can barely jump. You know, Oubre's slight. I mean, there is a certain degree of just, I hate to say it, but literally, like, athleticism, it's a mismatch. And then when you add on that the Knicks do try harder, now you got a real big problem. 215-592-9494, your thought on the Sixers-Knicks four games in, and the Eagles, the draft. Look, we're going to go inside that Embiid, Knicks fans, Sixers fans storyline. We'll get to that coming up. Some audio from over the weekend, Eagles draft related as well. Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie, it's 94. WIP.
Hey, Delaware Valley, are you a seasoned runner or are you thinking about maybe running a 5K, Broad Street Run, or a marathon? The physical therapist at NovaCare Rehabilitation will help you meet your goals. So whether you need a body tune-up or feeling aches and pains throughout training, NovaCare's movement experts work with runners just like you every day. Trust their team to keep you on the road healthy and strong. With more than 200 convenient locations in Greater Philadelphia and South Jersey, there is no better time to make NovaCare part of your healthcare team. When you sign up for your next race, they will help make sure you achieve your personal record. To learn more about the benefits of physical therapy or to schedule an appointment today, go to NovaCare.com. The Philadelphia Phillies choose NovaCare.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
NAS are the letters that spell. You know, of all these losses the Sixers have had in recent years, this one hit me really hard yesterday. Maybe because I had bought back in again.
You know, not convinced that they were going to go on a deep run, but believing they could. And, you know, knowing that the path did look easier this year than most years, it really, really did. And it's just disappointing to see, obviously, all the twists and turns in this series. I will say it's been an incredibly compelling series. I mean, there's no doubt, if you look at the landscape of the 8 series that have occurred so far, it is light years ahead of all the others. I mean, it has been an incredibly intense, incredibly compelling series, but obviously really aggravating to see, you know, the current outcome, 3-1. All right, let's get to a little Phil's action here for a moment, because we would really be remiss if we completely shortchanged them. John, they are just kicking butt. I mean, they are, you know, they now look like the team that we envisioned when they were in spring training, you know, that could win 95 to 100 games. They're just playing.
Yeah.
And
Alex, Ranger. The starting.
All of them, yeah, but Taiwan.
But Ranger, yeah. Especially, we were told this was going to happen. You know, hey, when he finally gets a chance to be in spring training for the duration, he's going to be even better than you've seen. And, yeah, now we're seeing that. It looks like.
Let me say loser of the weekend, by the way. Loser of the weekend from baseball. I don't know if you guys noticed it. The Padres player who hit the homer off Ranger with 2 outs in the 8th inning when they finally got on the board, and he does some ridiculous bat flip while his team's down 5-0. It's like, dude, your team's barely gotten a hit. You haven't gotten a run. I mean, what a loser. I mean, talk about picking the wrong spot. I mean, my God. Anyway, that ticked me off. Alec Bohm was playing great.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I did not notice
that.
Yeah,
it was. Wow, it wasn't like the most over the top, but it was pretty strong bat flip. It was like, look at me. Big pimpin'.
You are totally the bat flip police.
But Johnny,
like, this is something we haven't even covered.
But his team's down 5-0.
In this case, he's right, though, because I am normally very anti-Joe's
you
bat flip takes.
You noticed this, too?
I didn't notice it, but we had an event, and it was a great time at the Green Parrot Newtown. But if that happened, are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah.
You're down 5-0 at a solo shot? That's an embarrassment.
It happened.
I agree with you in this case.
It happened. All right. Here's one other thing that happened.
Such sticklers.
Yeah. All right. I got to give praise to Alec Bohm. I mean, he is, let's call it quietly, okay? Because it's not like, look, we've been so into the Eagles and so into the Sixers in the last week or two. We haven't done, like, all the deep dives on the Phils that we normally would. Alec Bohm is putting up a season right now that has him on a clear path, if he can sustain this, to the MVP award. I mean, it is so ridiculous. Matter of fact, I got to hear it because it was another home run this weekend. Usually it's regular singles and doubles, but he's also got some power going on.
And this one's blasted way back to left field, and that is gone, and man, Alec Bohm is ready. He jumps on the first pitch from Dylan Cease. It's his 4th homer of the season. He stays white hot and gives the Phillies an early 2-0 lead.
I'm going to give you 4 facts. One's an opinion. 3 others are direct facts, but I'm going to call them all facts. Fact number 1, batting average, .365. On base percentage, .441. Slugging percentage, .615. Now, those are 3 certifiable facts. Fact number 4, great defense. Great defense. Best defensive improvement I've ever seen from a player in baseball that's a Philly. And just a guy, 2 guys are playing their way into big money. Alec Bohm and Ranger Suarez. Big money, man. Like, both guys could get $100 million plus contracts because they are really delivering. All right, let's go to the phones. 215. By the way, the Braves keep winning as well,
and
just
Bohm,
for what it's worth.
Bohm especially, it seems like when guys are on base, he's even better.
Well, he's doing everything.
The RBIs are through the roof. He's got to be near the top of all of Major League Baseball in RBIs, 26 of them.
Yeah.
He's getting it done. Continues.
What a month. All right, to the phones on the Sixers, the Eagles, and the Phils. Let's go to Adrian right now. Good morning, Adrian. Adrian. All right, Adrian, not there. Let's talk to let's go to Kev. Kev, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, y'all.
Hi, Kev.
Oh, man, after watching that game right there, man, I'm just I don't even know what to say. It's like every year Embiid destroys the league and everybody, he's known as the best in the league. And then, I mean, it's the never-ending story. Then he hurt. And then the team, man, with the effort, there's no effort in there.
Like if you see that this Josh Hart and these young guys are jumping over him, y'all just said Tobias and them is old. Why not play the guy that we signed, the one that never comes in, but that plays with Ricky Council? Why can't he get in there? Or KJ? Why can't you got to do something else? You got to mix it up.
Yeah, but you know what?
You got to mix it up. It's not enough.
Well, look, there's two mix-ups, and I mean that in a good way. That Nick Nurse has gone to two levers he's pulled in this series. One is he obviously expanded the time of the little guard.
Campaign.
And the other is he completely stripped Buddy Hield of any responsibility. So, yes, could he go deeper into the bench? Sure. But you know what, Kevin? Those guys probably stink at this level. Like, they take Paul Reed. Paul Reed, like, it's a joke. Like, how does this guy have a $20-something million contract?
I mean, you go match this guy's contract. The guy completely stinks, don't give you nothing. Then you trade away little guys that would have probably helped you play better defense on Brunson, like as far as Beverly and as far as the other guy, Springer. The Sixers has too many times got first round draft picks and did nothing with them. Came up with absolutely zilch. That's why I don't think this team is ever going to win with the front office intact as it is, because it's just too many mistakes. But as far as the Eagles, I want to go to the Eagles. I think that they did great in the draft. And I want to ask y'all a question. Do y'all think Slay and Bradbury is having a seat? Or is we going to run all young guys in there? Or one of them is going to be inside?
Slay's going to start. The question is
so
whether Bradbury will start. Yeah, I mean, Slay's a starter. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But Bradbury's spot is – John, who do you think is in the most perilous spot to start? Three
James
names.
Bradbury,
Avante Maddox, and Blankenship. Of those three, which is the most likely to not be a starter?
Probably Bradbury. But, man, Avante Maddox,
he's
too.
In dangerous territory, too.
Look, I think Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, that could be your outside cornerback and your nickelback instead of James Bradbury and Avante Maddox. And then you got Slay on the other side. I think, but who knows? It could be Cooper DeJean. It could be him on the outside. Quinyon Mitchell becomes your – I don't know. They're going to let these guys compete it out. You got the young guys from last year also that they seem
sure
to
do.
Love for their length.
Got a million
some
options.
Some of those measurables. Yeah.
This
it went from such a flaw, a weakness, to a deep strength. Yeah. Yeah. And so strong that it's flexible. You can see so much, so many possibilities on the horizon. This team's going to be pretty solid.
Let's listen to Howie Roseman. This one goes back to Thursday night, I believe it was. Asked about Bradbury and Slay and their future. Obviously, this was after, I think, the first cornerback was picked. Then eventually DeJean the next day. Here's Howie on the two veterans. And Avante could be lumped in here as well, but he's not specifically asked about. Here's Howie.
So what's their future like for Darius Slay and James Bradbury? And also, you have a lot of cornerbacks now. Is there any thoughts potentially moving some of them to safety?
Yeah, I think that, obviously we've talked about both those guys. Slay coming off Pro Bowl year and James working to get back to how he was 2 years ago. And I think when you talk about corners, O-line and D-line, you can never have enough of those guys. I mean, it's just throughout the course of the season, having guys who can cover people so important. And obviously we've been in a position over the past few years where we haven't had enough of those guys, and whether that's through injury or just kind of, not running out of guys towards the end of the season. So I don't think I think that's a good problem to have. I think that's what competition, that shows its way through. We got a lot of practices, a long time to go before we go to Brazil. So I think it's our goal right now just to add as much competition as we can to this football team and let it all shake out.
I like the answer. And that tells me that he's really not really a believer in Bradbury. This competition thing I think is code for we had to upgrade there. I don't know if Bradbury is going to be off the team, deactivated, guy that gets traded.
He could be in the slot.
He could be guy hope
that
he's
gets
not.
Traded. He could be guy that gets traded.
He really could be. Let's also look at the guided door and window to the weekend. You can receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window. Call them today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA. You can also visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A, goguida.com. Let's go back to how the weekend started. So, they had the Thursday part, first round of the draft. We covered that on Friday. And then really the weekend started with Brandon Graham. I mean, let's be real. So eventually he makes a you know, announcement of a pick of Cooper DeJean. But before he even gets to that, Brandon Graham laid it on thick. I loved it. Here's BG at the podium. We're not even going to get to the part where he says Cooper DeJean, because he's up there for a while, and he's taking shots.
Hey, first off, I want to say go blue all day, baby. Hey, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. And y'all already know, all day, Dallas sucks all day.
Whoa.
Let's go. Let's go.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. You know, this was an interesting draft. John, one of the most wild aspects of the draft, how about the fact that, because he's talking Michigan there, obviously your school, Brandon Graham's school, national champions this year. How about the fact that
My son's school.
Your
just
son's
finished
school?
His first year at Michigan.
Congrats to your son.
Thank you.
How about your son's former starting quarterback, Michigan starting quarterback, who got drafted by the Detroit Lions rival? Which team was it? Was it the Vikings?
Vikings, yep. Vikings.
Like, that's weird. Like, the guy was just the starting quarterback on a state national championship team. Mm-hmm. Now he's in the division, probably as the starter for a rival.
Yes.
It's a little bit like Jalen Brunson, but much bigger, because Michigan football there is much bigger than Villanova basketball here. And I'm not saying that to be rude to Villanova. We've got six Division I teams. And
Michigan's a way bigger school, a longer history, the whole thing.
It's just it's a strange reality right there. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the Embiid storyline as it relates to what he said after the game about the fans. Let's listen to Joel. I think most people have probably consumed this audio already, but if you haven't, here we go. This is Joel Embiid. Obviously, the crowd in both games 3 and 4 loaded with Knicks fans, some of whom are loaded with money. I think that's part of it. They come down from New York City with deep pockets and they buy these tickets. But there's a lot of complications to it. Joel was obviously ticked. It obviously is impacting these games. It's the complete opposite of when Eagles fans travel, and we get all pumped up about that, and we are utterly convinced, rightfully so, that it helps the Eagles win football games on the road. Well, the Knicks fans helped the New York Knicks a lot yesterday. Here's Joel after the game, very aggravated.
You guys have always had such great home court advantage here. How strange was it for you the past two games with the significant amount of Knicks fans in the house?
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. You know, obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
All right, John, you have probably not the wisdom of Solomon, but you're an above-average wise human. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this? Where do you put blame? Are you mad at Embiid for saying that? Like, I'm not mad at Embiid for saying that. I know a lot of people are. I sympathize with him having to play a home game with half the crowd being the opposing team, but where do you come down on this?
I wish he wouldn't have gone there.
Wrong time?
Yeah.
Even if it's true, don't say it?
Yeah. Yeah, sort of. Like, our job as fans is to cheer you on and evaluate your play, and sometimes the play deserves criticism and all that, and that can get, you know, that is what it is. But, man, this just doesn't feel like it's the right way to go.
Well, a lot of people don't want to hear it. Rhea, where are you on this issue?
I'm so sick of him. I'm sorry. I've had enough. He's always injured. Is he trying? Sure he is. But you know what? I don't want to hear that after the game.
I get it.
Nick Nurse was asked the same thing, and frankly, he's been underwhelming, and he handled it like a professional. You've been here 10 years. Handle it like a professional.
James, where are you on this one?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's outrageous what he said. And I get it that, like, it sucks that there are Knicks fans in that building. Then don't lose in the second round year after year after year. Don't come up small time and time and time again. Like, take accountability, man. Like, the reason that that place was half full is on you guys and your organization, like, as well. Look, Sixers fans take some blame in it. That's fair. But, like, there's a reason. Like, instead of coming out and being and complaining and putting it on someone else, internalize that, man. Ask the question, why? Why are there so many Knicks fans here? And what does my team and my role in that? And instead, it's just, and it's always, something else.
The locus of blame.
John.
That's what we're talking
it's
about.
It's always like, something else,
is,
man.
This is
it's
very
never him.
Easy to point the finger somewhere else. And it did feel like, at first he said, hey, you know, I'm not going to, I even wrote it down. I'm not calling them out.
Okay.
But it is disappointing. And then he delves into, like, I've never seen it before like this. You know, like, does it anger you? Yeah, I'll be honest. And, yeah, so... Joel, I get it, but I'd prefer that you take total responsibility here and say you've done a poor job leading this team to the promised land this playoffs. You're going to do a better job. You're going to give our fan base something more to cheer for moving forward. Like, there was a better way to handle that.
Well, so we have a Twitter poll question of the day today brought to us by Armin Chevrolet that I can honestly tell you, other than Friday when I referenced this could be a poll question, I never conceived previously that such a question would be asked on WIP as a poll question. But here we go. Arvin Chevrolet, by the way, offering the highest quality certified pre-owned vehicles in the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. Visit arvinchevy.com. All right, put your thinking caps on and answer this question. Who is more to blame for so many Knicks fans being at games 3 and 4 in Philly? Is it A, Sixers fans, or B, the Sixers organization? Now, the Sixers organization would encompass part of what James referenced, Embiid, past playoff failures, not believing in this team that much.
Josh Harris's stewardship.
It's also Josh Harris.
Imagine how upset Josh Harris would be if he didn't own the Washington Commanders.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, seriously.
Listen, his split loyalties have had a major ripple effect on the relationship between that organization and this town.
It's a culture issue. The Eagles and the Phillies do not have this problem.
That's right.
Because of who their ownership is.
I totally agree.
And to that point, to the point we just made, can you imagine a Phillies playoff game taken over by other fans? Right. Can you imagine an Eagles playoff game taken over? No, right? You can't imagine that.
I will say this, James. If the Phillies played the Mets and they never
in the
had,
regular season.
In the postseason.
There's no way.
Hold on.
There'd be a smattering.
No, I think if the Phillies and Mets played a postseason game, I could see in 43,000 at CBP, I could see 10,000.
No. Maybe like a couple thousand.
Tickets are available, man. They got deep pockets up
there. Yeah, but Phillies fans want to go to these games. It's the coolest thing to do. It's a blast. Like, it's not like these Sixers fans don't want to go to these games. They've seen this story. They know what's going to happen.
Well, I hear you. I get that part.
Rinse and repeat.
No, I hear you. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, obviously react to the whole Embiid thing, the whole thing. Also up ahead, Nick Nurse. What he said after the game about the decision to play Embiid as many minutes as he played him, we'll get to that audio and more on this Monday morning. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, it's 95.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.